Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. Today, we want to talk about MAP, Minimum Advertised Pricing. It's kind of a confusing topic, I think, for someone who isn't in e-commerce. They may not understand what this even is or the fact that it's a thing in America. It is not a thing in other countries. I think it is kind of a thing in the UK. I actually don't even really know.
It's kind of a thing in Australia and the UK, but it's different. So if you're in Australia, you may be familiar from being in a store, like you'll see RRP, recommended retail price, which is a little bit different to MAP. It has some similarities in that it's something that's set by the manufacturer or the supplier or whatever, but it's the legal perspective on it is what's different in technical terms. But by some suppliers in both countries, it is treated the same as MAP. It's funny, in Australia, like our competition laws say you can't set, you cannot set a price for something, like and mandate that nobody else can sell it at a different price or below that price. So it's judged as being anti-competitive. So legally in Australia and the UK, you can't have like MAP pricing in the way that you do in the US, where it's like if you don't stick to it, your supplier could take action against you, right? They could tell you, oh, you have to stop selling our products, or we're not going to supply you anymore, or whatever it might be. In Australia and the UK, they can't technically do that. Like, they couldn't put it in writing that you're not sticking to our RRP, so we're going to stop supplying you, because that would be technically illegal. But could they stop supplying you? Yeah, hell yeah. They don't have to tell you why they're stopping supplying you, right? So it could happen. I've certainly worked with suppliers where they take that line. Like, if they tell you, like, we're not going to put it in writing, basically, but we have recommended retail prices and you've got to stick to them. And if you don't...
That feels very much the same as the US.
I'm not sure that,
maybe I'm just ignorant. It doesn't feel like there's a legal precedent that they could, like, it's their choice. If they want to sell to you, they can. If they don't, they don't. So they can just tell you, yeah, we're not going to keep you as a supplier anymore, kind of thing. But I'm sure there's someone listening of like, all right, what is MAP? So MAP is minimum advertised price. No one should be able to run Google shopping ads or list an advertised price, a front end price, lower than what the supplier is suggesting you price it at. It's done to make marketers have to like work on a different playing field. It's not a race to the bottom anymore. If it's a race to the bottom, then everyone's only competing on price and it's whoever can drive down the margins furthest. If everyone has to compete at the same price, then you have to bring value in other ways. So I like MAP. I think it's a very wonderful thing when I hear of, you know, some of our students in Australia or other places where there is no MAP and it's just this constant race to the bottom. You call your suppliers and they're like, yeah, well, what do you want us to do about it kind of thing? They don't care because they're making their margin on the other end. Number one, that makes me feel shitty for those people. Feels like those suppliers are kind of shitty too, if they're not going to like, you know, try to help all of the people that are selling their brands. But in America, like it's very stuck to it. In fact, you'll get tattled on. Like often, if you break it even a little bit, you're going to get tattled on by someone else who's selling it. And it's kind of like, you know, your teacher yelling at you, like, Billy said you were doing this, you need to adjust your price. And it's kind of frustrating in a different way in America. I think your way is even more frustrating.
Yeah, but I want to break a few misconceptions here. So there are markets in Australia where that have no, don't even have recommended retail pricing and the margins are fine. There are individual brands within markets. I mean, I got a brand that doesn't have RRPs as such, and I've got 50% margins in Australia. I've got brands where I have 30% margins in Australia, and I've got some where it's like 19, 15, and there's always some suppliers that are like 10%. In the US, we have students who get suppliers with MAP and the margin is 10% at MAP, right?
Lord, I have 5%.
Yeah. It's happened to you before. So I don't like a lot of people in places like Australia and the UK kind of use it as a bit of a crutch sometimes, like, oh, I shouldn't do this because there's no, like, it's way too competitive. It's a race to the bottom, blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't see it that widely across the board at all. I think that's sometimes somebody gets into a market where it's like that for sure. That happens in any country, But most of the time, it's kind of a mix. Like you'll have some, like in Australia, for example, you'll have some suppliers that have shitty margins because they don't do anything about pricing. And they just let, yeah, everybody have a race to the bottom and it can get to the bottom. But it's not always the case by any stretch. And so I like, one, I do like that as a system. I think it's a great idea to make marketers compete on marketing and not just competing on price. Because that's lazy marketing, right? Just competing on price. It can be effective sometimes, but it's pretty lazy. And so I do like that system. But once again, I don't personally care if it's not there either. That, I mean, that's how I came up doing this, right? Is in a country without it. And I've been able to build businesses. I know plenty of other people in Australia who have built good businesses and, you know, they're making money. So I don't think it's that big a deal.
It's pretty standard in the US, so I'm used to it. I will say where I've ran into issues is when there just isn't enough margin, like you mentioned before, right? And I can picture a sauna I was selling. And it was the small version. I wanted one person or two person sauna. It was like $1,100. And they offered a $100 margin on that, right? And so like that's what, 8%, 9%. Also, I got to pay shipping and pay the credit card charges. And so it just didn't make sense. And likely if you're listening to this and you're already running business, you'll have a few products that just don't make sense. And so what do you do? For me, I just raised price. One, I went and did the exercise in our course where you go look at what your competitors are doing, find out where they're beating you and figure out how you can beat them, right? Make a better offer. A lot of these people were making a higher priced offer as part of their total package in order to build margin in there. So if I sold it at $1,500 and it cost me $200 to ship and ate all the fees, now there's still a few hundred dollars left for me. It was interesting to see people jockey a little bit lower and a little bit lower. Again, playing the same game, whoever was willing to take the least amount of profit was likely going to win more than others. But I did have to go above it, and I didn't have an issue with that. And I've had other products where other people were selling it at that MAP price, probably breaking even, and I just wasn't okay with that. And you shouldn't be either as a business owner. You're not required to do that. One, I would go revisit your supplier, lay out the math for them, and see if you can work better margins here. In this specific scenario, we had to build a bundle. We had to get the margin put in there. We had to be creative. We had to come up with a better offer, as John likes to say. And so that was including some of the products that you're inevitably going to need anyway in order to use this product. And so could we source some of those, one from the supplier that was already there, try to pad in some margin. Other times I've had to go to Amazon to throw in some goodies. Other times you may just have to get creative with a digital product. You may have to go find someone who can help you create something digital to throw in there so that you can increase your price and show them that the value is here in a better one. Have you had to do anything creative here in Australia other than just simply raise fees?
Hey, if you've been thinking about starting your high-ticket dropshipping journey with us here at Dropship Breakthrough, but you've got questions, you're unsure about what's inside the course, you're unsure if it's right for you, or you just love to hear from the experiences of our students, you can jump on a free call right now with a member of our team who is also a Dropship Breakthrough student and successful high-ticket dropshipper to talk about all of those things. Just head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call and book your call today. Yeah, I think My favorite one is certainly the bundling. I think that one stands out because for me as well. And I can even, I have some ideas around that right now on a store that we have here. And I think, you know, the good thing about that is oftentimes you can find products with a lot of search traffic that tend to have lower margins. And that might be because they're really, they're more competitive, you know, and so the price has got squeezed a little bit. But there's going to be a lot of traffic. Maybe it might be branded and you don't want to miss out on that, right? Because, I mean, an option always is. I mean, if you've got individual products that don't have a great margin, just don't sell them. Like, don't focus on, well, maybe go to organic traffic, right, where you don't have to carry the cost of ads to get traffic there. Like, that's always an option. It's probably not your first option. You want to try and solve that question of, can I bring more value to the equation? But for if you've got a popular product and the margin's just like a little bit, you know, too narrow, like you still want to get that search traffic, right? So bundling it up means you can still maybe take advantage of that branded search and make the bundle name like that product plus blah, 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 or however you want to name that bundle. And so
I just can't imagine a product where you didn't need other things. So again, pellet grills. Sure. Yeah, pellet grills, you're going to need the pellets. You're going to need a new grilling set, right? It's not likely you're going to take your old crunchy grilling set from your old grill and want to use it on your new grill. Cedar planks. other different things, the silicone mats that you can put on there. All these are low ticket items that I would tell you, you know, you're not going to go acquire the customers using these things, but you can sure pad up the price and make these wonderful bundles. And yep, you're going to have to solve some other problems of like, hey, customer, letting you know this is going to come in three different shipments. And like, you're going to have to get creative and you're going to have to solve problems, which is what a business owner does. But there are definitely ways to sell products where you think, hey, I got shit margins or no one's obeying mat pricing here. I can't compete. I'm just going to be done. Get creative. Figure out how you can bring more value to the marketplace.
Yeah. And don't be afraid like to go and talk to your suppliers about it as well. Like particularly if you're in the US and your supplier told you when you signed on with them, like we want you to stick to mat pricing. Like, I mean, you're within your rights if you see somebody who's not doing that to call it out to the supplier as well. Like I do that all the fucking time. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it gets fixed and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Sometimes they are happier to help than other times. I know we heard that at the NUSA event too, of just call a supplier and they're like, what do you want us to do about it? That's unfortunate, right? That's probably not your best relationship you have in your industry. And so, but you can only control what you control. So I'd encourage you to, again, if you see it, say something. But at the same time, what can you do to make a difference in your business? What can you do to make that product more appealing to the same person who's looking at the other person listing it lower? One thing I've seen a lot, this was a lot when I was consulting a lot of people, is if you are the person who's always looking for the lowest price, you tend to believe everyone else is looking for the lowest price. And that's just not true, especially in high ticket products. You might think that's the case, that they're already spending $5,000. They're probably looking for that extra $100 off, or, you know, a lot of people do the penny thing in Google Shopping where they'll list it like one penny lower, but often they just want someone to give them respect, the information they're seeking, the right extra products they know they'll need, good use cases and how they can use the product appropriately, great assembly instructions. There are a lot of other things people are looking for when they're purchasing a product, more than just price. And so I encourage you, if you are that person, if you're always going to look for the discounts, if you have Honey or Capital One or whatever the fuck connected so that you're always looking for little coupons and stuff, you're going to tend to believe that everyone does that. And that's just not the case.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.